The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 4th of April. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host today is the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
I feel I'm crouching for this.
Well, don't.
Well, you know, I blame you again because...
Now sit up straight.
What happened to little sound checks?
Sit up straight.
And just talk across it.
Yes, thank
Hello.
You.
Hello, how's that?
Yeah, but take your chest away from it, otherwise you blank it out.
Well, you've just been telling me I should have worn a vest.
You should have done.
Ridiculous.
State of it.
Spring now.
State of it.
Spring.
State of it.
Anyway, it's lovely to be back, I must say, from the brink of the virus, which my doctor says goes on for 100 days.
You've not been well, have you?
Not at all, darling. And, you know, where were you? No Lemsip, no nothing.
I know. And also, I mean, you had a pretty ropey breakfast at your place this morning as well, didn't you? One slice of toast.
I wasn't up to scratch. Two poached eggs.
Yeah.
A measly tomato.
I did notice, though, you had the cordon bleu splash of brown sauce on it. In one of those cordon bleu ziggy zag things.
Yeah, it was actually in your
Most
initials.
Of us just pour it on the side of the plate, but oh no, you have to, what was it, drizzle. Drizzle HP sauce.
A drizzle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Le jus.
Okay.
And all that.
How's your party wall? No, don't ask.
Oh, don't ask. Honestly, this is why I've had the virus, tell you, because Canterbury City Council have...
I've given her a virus. They sent it in the post.
Because...
With her council tax bill.
If you look at Bird's Facebook of her pre-show...
Yeah, no, it's my Facebook.
Whatever, Bunker's Facebook, Business Bunker's Facebook, you'll see that Paul and I both could have three shows on Canterbury City Council. Mm. I'm thinking of calling Meridian, actually. And they, what's happened is they passed planning permission. How long have we got? They passed planning permission for my mum's house at the neighbour's house next door. My mum said that's fine. And then the neighbours mysteriously found a drain that they had to build around. And so they said to my mum, who's 86, minding her own business in her lovely conservatory, you know, just sitting there minding her own business, that they needed to take down her fence and her lovely hedge, and they were going to build her a nice wall instead. But what they didn't tell my 86-year-old mother is that the nice wall they were going to build was the side of their house mm-hmm. with a pitched roof. And Canterbury City Council had approved it as a minor amendment. So I have been...
You're not happy, are you?
I'm not happy. And my mum has actually collapsed. It's very sad. She's been very stoic. She said to me the other day, this would never have happened if my dad, you know, my dad, her husband... was still alive, he would not have allowed it. And I was travelling a lot, as you remember, when it started. I was in Africa. So it was all a bit, and then Christmas. So I'm dealing with the council. I'm not giving in. The wall is half built. I went round, put my hands on my hips with the builders. I've got a posse now helping me.
Do you know, funnily enough, it's one of the biggest areas of dispute there is party walls and adjoining gardens and stuff like that. Jeremy Vine did a whole programme about overhanging trees the other day.
Well, I need to contact him.
You do.
He follows
You should
me.
Have been on. You should have been on.
I should have done, had I known. But the thing is that the council, why it's frustrating is because I'm good at fixing stuff, like most of us. I can deal with fixing a problem. But when you cannot speak to anyone and the council just, they won't even answer their phone. And I've spoken to four people in planning, in building, and I'm not really getting anywhere. I've now got another party wall surveyor, Martin, what's his name? Martin, James Martin in Canterbury, who Rob Go Vicinity
Wake me up when she's finished, will
he? So it is a shaggy dog story. We do need to continue down the pub, if only he drank.
You
he
do?
He doesn't drink.
So that's enough of that.
Yeah. So it's not enough. So what I'm getting now from Canterbury City Council is... we are not at our desk.
Anyway, that's the end of another Business Bunker show. Thank you for spending 2 hours with us listening to Jules waffle on about her mum's party wall. But that was really good.
We are not at our desk until April the 11th, Canterbury City Council are saying. That's not good enough because this wall is being built.
They're in trouble.
They are.
They're in big trouble. Talking about aged parents, it's my old dad's birthday today.
I know, Victor.
Yeah, so happy birthday, Dad. Not that he's listening to this because he can't.
Well, who could bear to, really?
Well, and he's deaf, so he can't hear it anyway, can he?
I had a long chat with him at your 80th, your party, The party I put on for you,
yeah,
may
yeah.
I say.
Your 80th.
My 80th, yeah.
Of the rat, the party of the rat cloth.
Yeah.
Which is, it is now known amongst some certain bunker listeners. I know
when you say you had a long conversation with my dad, you talked to him for a half an hour and he just kept going, yep, yep, yep. And then when you left, he went, who's she? What's she going on about?
He was an attentive audience.
Yeah, yeah, well, he would be, because you were sat on him and he couldn't move.
And then young Stu came up and told me that he couldn't hear a word I was saying.
So, yeah, exactly.
I thought it was marvellous, anyway. Mm.
Happy anyway, birthday, anyway, enough of that. We're going to have it's a bit of a ranty show today.
Oh, we also have to, sorry to interrupt again, but we also have to say happy birthday to Denise Wilton.
Yes, it was her birthday on Sunday.
So the drinks were on her when I next see
her. Yeah, so happy birthday to Denise.
Yeah.
Quite right. There was a lot of birthdays about in these few days. There's a lot of...
There were, I think you'll find.
Yeah. That's what I said, wasn't it?
No, I know you did go to Bermondsey School or somewhere. You left at 14, but no, there were.
What did I say?
I'm always telling my son about this.
What did I say?
You said something Kentish. There was a lot of birthdays. It's my pet hate.
Right. A lot of birthdays.
I get very uppity about it.
You get uppity about everything. I'm going to get uppity now because we've had a trillion tweets.
Yeah.
But I can't read most of them because Twitter have changed the platform. They're not showing me a lot of the tweets now. For those of you that fail to follow the instructions, it makes it even harder. If you do, you can tweet again, though. But if you tweet, please, please use the hashtag BBunker, because then we can find you. But at the moment, I'm having trouble finding all the tweets, and we've had dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens, but it's only showing me a few.
Well, I'm
so I'm going to read the first one.
I'm probably technically more able than you, as most listeners will know. Nurse Liz is listening in Maryland.
Hi, Liz.
Hello. And she lost her mummy very recently, so we're thinking of you and sending you bunker hugs.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Liz. I hope things are fine out there on the east coast of the USA. We've had a tweet from Ethel Bray, who say, Business Bunker, shout out, please, Paul. We have an absence management course on the 21st of June at Chilston Park.
Abscess?
Absence.
Oh, sorry, it's your pronunciation.
She's going to be troubled today.
You know why?
Do you know what? It really is.
Do you know why, Matthew? Because I've been at home with this virus for 4 weeks, and I'm so bored of being at home.
She's decided to rock up round here and create mayhem because she was bored. She's like a little toddler. Yeah.
Let out.
Like a little toddler with too many E numbers. That's what she's like. Anyway, back to Aethelbray on the Twitter, who have an absence management course.
Lancing.
An absence management course on the 21st of June at Chilston Park, which is a hotel at Samway, just outside Lenham. And it's from 9.30 until 4.30. And it's run by employment law trainer. And the trainer is called Jay Donahue 1 on the Twitter. So you can follow either or both. Aethelbray is Aethelbray LTD on the Twitter, or you can follow J Donahue, JDonaghue, and the number 1.
And we've had a lovely tweet from the gorgeous, very snappily dressed Andrew Knott of FSB, the Federation of Small Business. And, sorry, I'm just having to bring up my tweets here, and I'm being shouted at by Mr. Bunker, of course. He says, hello, Paul and Jules. Please can we have a shout-out? If you'd like to learn more about the Federation of Small Businesses, call Andrew Knott on 07747114627. And may I say, while I'm ranting about party wars, I, of course, as a member, get free legal advice.
There you go.
Fabulous. They phone you straight back. Took me 60 seconds. They got straight back to me, unlike Canterbury City Council.
Mm-hmm.
So hello.
So that was the FSB legal advice line.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's part of the membership benefits.
Hello to Telcare, the lovely Lisa Marie Settle. They're listening in.
Hi, Lisa.
I bet they've got current buns or, you know, hot cross buns now, maybe.
Do you think so?
Well, it's nearly Easter.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'd lost the plot. I couldn't remember when Easter was.
Well, I'm feeling a bit miffed because everybody's having fun. And
Matthew lost the plot as well. He forgot.
I've got my children on Easter, Easter holidays.
He's dumped them somewhere. Yeah. We don't know. But he thinks they're at school, but they're not. Poor children.
I've had a tweet from HR Services and Support, the lovely Fiona Stevens. Hello, she says. Hello, Vanilla Webb. Please may I have a shout out on the Business Bunker. All things people, HR, organisational development, and all round great businesses. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Fiona Stevens with a PH HR.
Well, she would have been very proud of me this morning. As I walked my hound on the seafront, I wore my little tartan in her honour.
Your little tartan cloak
that I've got, that I bought in St Andrews.
Ah, right.
It's lovely, a little purple. Except my husband says I look like Orinoco, that womble in it, which is a bit worrying.
Right. Okay.
Who's our sponsor, Paul?
We are very pleased and proud to have as sponsors today the fabulous Channel Facilities Management.
How very apt.
Yeah. And Channel FM are a facilities management company. They do office cleaning, maintenance, security, and a whole range of things. But one of the unique things about them is their office cleaning. They use no chemicals whatsoever.
I love that.
It's all eco stuff.
Well, I will introduce them to my eucalyptus habit.
I'm sure they'll be well pleased. You know what she's done, Bird? She's only gone and stolen a koala from the zoo. That's what she's done. You can't leave her alone anywhere, can you?
Extraction of eucalyptus. Did you know there's wallabies in Kent?
Wallabies?
Yeah.
Really?
Have you seen the news? There's wallabies hopping all around Kent. There's about 105 wallabies in Kent. Matthew, be careful.
Breeding like rabbits or wallabies.
Large rabbits.
Anyway, a huge thank you to the lovely folks at Channel FM. You can find out about them. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk website, there's a logo on the homepage with a link to their website, and you can find out more about them. They've got some fantastic gear. And as I say, they clean everything without using chemicals, so it's eco-friendly cleaning.
Will they hook up with our lovely Tenterton toilets?
I don't know.
Do you think? That would be a nice little, you know, maybe they can work together sometime.
Possibly. They're certainly going to be working with us at Fruitworks, so we'll have to look forward to that.
Fabulous. Well,
yeah.
I should turn them on to the eucalyptus oil.
I would.
Yeah, it's groovy. It's just doggone.
I'll tell you what, do you want to read an email or a tweet or something?
Anything to rein me in. So it's ZC Live. It's a one-day digital event. It's coming up on the 9th of June, which is a Friday. It's at Ashford International Hotel. It's free to attend, Bunker listeners. 8:30 to 3:30, and Zoe and team say that you can learn how to accelerate your digital and social media marketing in your business and create more leads by mastering key strategies over a whole day with international speaker, business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns. And there will be sponsorship opportunities. So go to, there's an email they've given us, which is paul@zcsocialmedia.com. That's not you, is it?
It's
another
not
Paul.
Me, no.
As ever,
there are other Pauls available.
As ever, the link will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But that is Friday the 9th of June, Ashford International, 8:30 to 3:30, and it's free to attend.
Cool. I've got a tweet here, which is really rather nice, and I'm really pleased to read it out. It's from Creek FM. And on the Twitter, they're Creek FM FCR.
Down there in Faversham.
And they're in Faversham, and it's a new radio station.
Yeah.
And Creek FM are about to launch this Saturday.
Oh, well, congratulations.
So do check them out. The only thing I've got is their Twitter handle, which is Creek FM FCR. So do find that, click on it, and I'm sure you can find out how to listen in. I think, if I remember rightly, they're an internet radio station to begin with.
Yeah.
And they're looking at a community licence later on.
Yeah.
So do check them out. And it's always nice to have a new radio station join us.
It is. I've put them on to one of my clients, the Faversham Creek Hotel.
Right.
David Sales. Do you remember David Sales was on?
I do remember David.
For a while? So I think he will be a good mover and shaker for them and probably will do his own programme, knowing David. We've had a tweet from Supply My Business, the lovely Martin, who is coming to Slope Off Friday this Friday at Ramsgate, which is at 2 p.m. this Friday the 7th. You can still book. It's £18 for a three-course meal with fabulous chef Craig Mather at the Empire Rooms restaurant in Ramsgate, which is part of the Royal Harbour Hotel. It's fabulous food, as I said, £18, networking lunch. We have some great people, movers and shakers, and loads of business going on there, which is really good. So Martin says, I would be listening into Business Bunker, but I'm in a bit of a jam. He sends a terrible picture of him. He's obviously, I hope you don't need the loo, Martin, looking at that picture. You'll have to go on a verge.
We've got a phone.
He's in a jam.
We've got a phone in. We've got Ellie. Hello, Ellie.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm really well, thanks. How are you? Sorry, I was trying to talk to you because I didn't realise the phone was ringing. But you're on air now, so you're live.
Oh.
Hello.
Lovely. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Yeah. Tell me, is that bird behaving herself today?
No. No, she's not.
I haven't said a word yet today.
She hasn't, actually. She hasn't said anything yet.
How are you, Ali? You're right.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't believe that for a minute. That's not true.
She won't behave herself for the whole show, obviously. She's just kind of, she's girding her loins, you know, kind of getting up to
it. It's a bit rude, isn't
what? It? Where do we go with that? Where do we go with that?
Girding her loins. Have you not heard that expression?
Well, yes, of course. I watched the film, what was it? The, what's the film with?
Oh, who cares?
Gird
anyway,
your loins.
Let's carry on girding your loins, that one. Hello. Anyway, Ali, you talk to us.
Yeah, I'm just really excited about this thing that we're doing, you know, Bird, me and Deborah Turner.
Yeah.
And we're really excited about it because it's basically, it's not for someone who doesn't want to deal with the stuff they're not looking at, like the women who are out there in business who are not looking at certain things and wondering then why they're not getting ahead, you know. So,
sure.
We're going to get very up close and personal.
Wow. Can I come?
No, it's women's only.
I know. So you won't let me anywhere near it, will you?
Well, there is going to be a men's one. So this is for release on Brilliance.
I don't want to come to the men's one.
Yeah.
I want to come to the girls' one.
That's what Martin White said
but
as well.
But he does dress up, Paul Andrews.
I've got
you
a
must
suit
have seen him. No, but I've seen you in quite a few. That sari attire you could go.
Yeah. So, Ali, you're really looking forward to this.
We're going
to talk to Bird later on in the show in detail about what's going on here. You're going to be, put that to me again, you're going to be talking.
Well, basically, you know, if we've got these amazing business women out there in Kent, which obviously you know, you interview them all the time, and we're getting to the root of what, you know, what holds them back from stepping up to do even more, really, because they hide away a lot of them and they're not, you know, so we're going to give them confidence in all sorts of areas to get out there and just seize that opportunity to take advantage of what's available to them to be more visible, really.
Mm. Well, we're looking forward to hearing more all about it in the second half of the show when Bird's going to do her bit on it. But it's yourself, Bird, and Deborah Turner.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm working with these two really short women because I'm so much taller than them.
It's a bit heightist, isn't it?
I don't think Bird's very short.
Oi, dwarf. Have you got anything to say to
that's
that?
That's my new name now, isn't it?
How tall are you, Bird?
5'3½".
Are you?
Yeah.
No, I would never have thought you were short.
5'3½".
Oh.
And Ali's, what, nearly 6 foot?
Is the half?
Yeah. Yeah. Well over Berry. 6.
Yeah.
Well, are you, what's your height, Ali?
I don't know, actually, about 5'8", I suppose.
Oh, I'm like taller that. Than you. I'm 5'11".
Oh, wow.
Yeah, let's meet. We could tap dance together.
Well, Ali used to be a dancer, you see.
Did she?
Yeah, singer.
Ooh. And singer.
Yeah.
And singer. Well, and she worked with Freddie Parrotface Davis.
Well, somebody had to.
Yeah. Well, I did too.
more singing than dancing. It was sort of posing, really, the dancing bit.
Cool. Ali, look, lovely to hear from you. Thank you for calling in. As I say, we're going to hear from Bird all about this event later on in the show, so do stay tuned for that. But thank you for calling.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, you take care.
Cheers.
Have
now.
A show.
Bye, Ali.
Bye.
Lovely Ali Harold. I want to see a dance now.
I quite like it when we get phone calls in. I've got to be honest. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's throwing you a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, but sometimes...
Why didn't that ring?
It doesn't ring.
It has a flash.
It flashes.
Yeah.
One of the problems I have, though, with phone calls is if I'm not expecting them, I don't know who it is. And quite often you get people ring in and they're just salespeople or whatever.
But we had one once that asked...
don't even go there.
said that the owner, the owner of the building we were in owed him money.
And he just kept going with it. I kept saying, you're live on the radio. And he went, don't give me that. I've heard it all before. He owes me money. Get him on the phone. Get him on the phone now. So that was a bit of a laugh. The Kent Creative Awards, celebrating and encouraging arts and culture in Kent. The dinner ceremony is on Friday the 19th of May at Ashford School, and it will include networking with creatives, artists, sponsors, jury members, a three-course dinner with wine, close-up magic with the clearly amazing Etienne Pradier, and the ceremony itself. Come along with creative outfits so you can dress up as well. If you want to book, go to kentcreativearts.co.uk or you can email studio@kentcreativearts.co.uk.
I love the idea of dressing up, don't you?
Absolutely.
You could go in period.
Well, I'm going, but I don't know that I'm going in fancy dress.
Well, it wouldn't be a first, would it? Now, Nurse Liz in Maryland, who's listening, lots of hugs to you, Nurse. Nurse Liz, she says, who's on first? Is it the old comedy routine?
Who's on first? What's on second?
I think she's alluding
now, who's on first?
To you and me.
Yeah. Well, what's on first? Who's on second?
Yeah,
Abbott and Costello.
It's not so much comedy routine as more sort of just deluded.
Yeah, deluded ranting. Nonsense from two old rambling people.
Hey, listen, there's a super glitzy, glamorous evening of fine dining and entertainment at the Linda and Mario Garcia Pink Charity Gala Ball in aid of breast cancer now. And when is it, I hear you cry? It's on Thursday the 11th of May, and it's at the Ashford International Hotel. We're quite short venues in Kent, aren't we?
There's a lot happening at the Ashford International
Large
Hotel
capacity.
At the moment. Yeah.
6:30 until late. And the evening will begin with reception drinks and entertainment with jazz singer Lisa Barrett-Smith, whose magical voice covering songs from the Great American Songbook will set the mood for the evening. And during the sumptuous three-course dinner with wine, you'll be entertained by the world-famous magician Etienne Pradier. Is this the one you've just been talking about?
Yep. Yeah, but he's all over the place at the moment. He's making a comeback, Etienne.
I saw him when he was about 20,
yeah.
You know, just starting, yeah. At my neighbour's house party.
He's
amazing.
Brilliant. He's probably the best close-up magician I've ever seen. Yes. He's absolutely amazing.
Of course, Stu Weller is also fabulous.
Stu is very, very good.
Yes, he's just not French.
No.
Following Etienne's performance, the amazing evening's entertainment will continue with the fantastic Jason Alan Sway. He's going to be performing tribute music of the great Michael Bublé, who I love. What else is happening? Then there'll be Here Come the Girls, who specialise in performing...
Joe and Donna.
Feel Good Donna and Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
No doubt you'll be in the middle of them. Performing
I'll try.
Feel Good party music to ensure a full dance floor at any event. Now, for more details, it's £75 for the evening, and go to butterfliesanddreamsevents.co.uk with a little /charity-gala. Of course, you could go to kentbizradio.co.uk and find it there.
You can. And just to let you know, because Amanda did tell me earlier today... that if you book a table of 10, you get a discount of one place. So presumably it only costs you for 9 places.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's for a table of 10, so do that.
Sounds good.
And I do believe that Bird just asked me out. I
really?
Think she just asked me to go to the... Oh, no, you didn't. She just said, are you going?
She needs to book a table for 10, and then...
Just me and her.
Well, but you eat for 9 anyway, so...
I'm on a diet, mate. I've lost half a stone.
You're
this
like
week,
the incredible
let me tell you.
Shrinking man.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, do you know what? It's about time we play some tunage.
Tunage? Is it something trucky?
Well,
it's something
for Matthew. The one I wanted to play, we didn't have the right version. So
is it Joni Mitchell?
I was going to play Joni Mitchell with Little Yellow Taxi, but we had a rap version, which wasn't that good.
Oh, no. So I thought
we'd do this, which is...
Who's going to drive my car? Find cars.
It's drive.
Drive.
By cars.
Yeah, who's going to drive my car?
Close
it's
Close
the up. First bit he said. I rest my case.
Who's gonna tell you when it's too late? Who's gonna tell you things aren't so great? You can't go on thinking nothing's wrong.
Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Your business will grow if you take advice from people who've been there and done it. See and hear world-class business experts in masterclasses and workshops at the only business show worth visiting. Grow Kent, June the 14th at the Mercure Great Danes Hotel, Maidstone. Get free tickets at growkent.co.uk or come on the day.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live, register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Do you need suppliers you can trust for your Kent business? Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk. And it's Tuesday, the 4th of April. I have had a tweet from the third member of the trio.
We're all over it today, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And it's from Deborah, and she's saying, I'm 5 foot one.
Oh,
and she says, I'm
petite.
I'm 5 foot one and I'm not short.
No.
She's not short.
She's, well, what,
she's 5 foot one.
She's like Kylie Minogue.
Do you know, I was 5 foot one once.
Yeah. Well, yes.
I was actually 5 foot one when I left school.
Really? That's sweet. But then you were about nine when you left school.
I was,
you?
Yeah.
In Bermondsey.
Absolutely. I didn't go to school in Bermondsey.
Where were you?
I went to Vintners Boys, mate.
Yeah, where was that?
Maidstone.
I'm sure you grew up in London.
I grew up in London, but then my mum and dad moved to Maidstone.
Were you within the sound of the Bow Bells?
No.
Okay.
Fulham.
Oh, yeah. Football. Listen, Sally Marshall has got a breakfast seminar coming up, listener. It's 8.30 to 10 o'clock. It includes free tea, coffee and pastries. For members, it's £12 plus VAT, and for non-members, it's £16. She says it's perfect for new and small businesses, sole traders, cod or halibut or any sole trader and established businesses.
Right. It's painful, isn't it? It's absolutely painful.
Marshall's Consulting help business owners free up their time, focus on their vision and increase their profits. And so that is Sally Marshall. This is obviously part of the Kent Invicta Chamber. So you can book at kentinvictorchamber.co. And there is another one which says, do you stand out from the crowd? And that's on the 21st of April, Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce in Ashford. And there's also another one about networking. How does it work for you? That's on the 19th of May. And another event, why do you need to know the numbers in your business? That sounds like a number crunching one. That's on the 16th of June. Again, go to kentinvictorchamber.co.uk for all details.
Cool. Jacqueline Offen of JJ Systems has tweeted, how about a shout out for JJ Systems on the Business Bunker Show?
Sounds like
and say
plan.
Hello.
Hello.
No, I don't think we'll do that.
No.
No, we will.
We will.
Because Jackie's lovely.
She is.
So a big shout out for JJ Systems, Jacqueline Offen, and you can follow them on the Twitter at JJ Systems.
She's often on the show, isn't she?
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
I do love her.
Yeah. This pun-based stuff, I kind of missed it, you know.
I know.
Right. I've got an email here that I want to read.
Glasses on then.
Which I have. It's the Food Talk Awards launch.
Ooh.
Food Talk Awards are now open for entries. The awards celebrate the best of innovation in food and drink technology, packaging and food journalism. To find out more, please go to foodtalkawards.com. So the awards are now open. If you want to nominate anybody that's a food producer, innovator, that's food and drink, technology, packaging, or journalism or blogging, presumably, foodtalkawards.com is the place to go and find out about it. Jules?
There are, oh, this is very exciting. Herne Bay's highlights to be marketed by Kent agency Pillory Barn. Award-winning integrated agency Pillory Barn of Maidstone, Kent, has been appointed to roll out a destination marketing campaign to promote the charming seaside town of Herne Bay, its attractions and annual calendar of events. The multimedia campaign, which focuses on social media marketing and digi-content, will target a primary audience within a 20-mile catchment area of the Bay, as well as audiences as wide as London who have a passion for water sports, cycling and walking. And Canterbury City Council has used Section 106 funding from funding from the planned Sainsbury development at Altera Business Park to promote Home Bay across the next 18 months to Kent residents and wider. So the S106 encourages investment in community and social infrastructure. Please wear my teeth. Following a new development taking place, and they'll be working with retailers and businesses. Obviously, I have to say, you know that I sold in a client of mine into a Home Bay hairdresser's, the lovely Gentle Beauty, which does a fabulous organic hair colour. And when I went to park in Herne Bay, it was free the first 2 hours, thanks to Sainsbury's development. So that was good.
Yeah.
But the bad news is it's going to stop soon. That's what I heard.
That's the way of life, isn't it?
But, you know, there's another programme, isn't there, about ranting about parking. And
oh, we could rant forever.
Yes.
I've got one more tweet to read, and then we're going to speak to our first guest.
Matthew.
And it's a tweet from Denise Wilton.
Matthew Webb.
No, it's a tweet from Denise Wilton.
Our next guest, Matthew Webb.
I know who our next guest is, and I'm going to introduce him after I've read
but
this tweet.
But I want to tell the listener, it's Matthew Webb.
Well, I'll tell you what, once I've read this tweet, you can introduce the next guest.
Love him.
You can introduce the next guest and take your hand off his leg,
What's
please.
Your tweet?
Can I do it?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. It's from Denise Wilton, and she says, can I ask for a Business Bunker shout-out, please, Vanilla Webb, for Ben.
Aww.
And Ben is at Invicta Mechanical Services, and he's keeping sane on my crazy plumbing. She says, and she's given me their website, which is invictamechanical.com, and she's got a nice picture of their van.
Oh.
So there's a big shout out for Invicta Mechanical Services.
I wonder what's going wrong with her central heating.
Well,
we need more details.
Well, according to Denise, no, there's loads on Twitter. She's at home wearing headphones listening to this because Southern Water are currently digging up a drive and, you know, there's all kinds of things going on.
Well, isn't it that time of year when they have to use all their budget and stuff?
Yeah. And we've also had a tweet from FRC _ Enquiry. That's their Twitter handle. And they say, Business Bunker, shout out, please, Paul, for fraudmanagementresourcecentre.co.uk. Many thanks and good luck with the show. That's the Fraud Management Resource Centre. We do have a blog from them currently on the site about various fraudulent activities and how to avoid them as a small business. So do check that out. But do you know what?
Time for Matthew Webb.
Who's that? Who's our first guest? Because I don't know, because you're going to have to introduce him.
Our next and first and most fabulous guest is the lovely Matthew Webb. We won't talk about what he's done with his children, because he did think that he was supposed to pop them into school this morning. But we have Matthew Webb, who's going to talk about the Save Our Sanford campaign. Matthew.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Sorry she introduced you. I would have done a far better job, but there you go. So thank you for joining us, Matthew. Can you just start off by telling us a little bit about you, and then we'll kind of go into the campaign and what that's all about?
So I am a resident of Stamford, just off of Junction 11 of the M20, and I'm also chair of Stamford Parish Council. And ever since the government announced back in November 2015 that they were willing to make £250 million available for a lorry park to alleviate Operation Stack, we have been campaigning to stop that lorry park happening.
Okay. For those of us that don't know the metropolis that is Stamford, describe the village to us. Describe its location and it's kind of roughly the size of it. Not in hectares, but you know what I mean.
So we're quite a small village. Yeah. We're on either side of the M20.
Hang on, he's got to go and get his click wheel now.
runs north and south of the M20. Right. We have about 139 homes in the village,
right.
Population of about 450 people.
Right.
It's a small rural village that you'd expect to find in East Kent.
Right, okay. And would you say about 400 people?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you have, village shop, village pub?
We have no shop. We have a great pub called The Drum Inn, which
right.
I will advertise, cause not, you know, completely unashamedly, because it is a great pub.
Is it a free house?
No, it's not a free house, but we do have quite a lot of guest ales on, and it's very popular with camera members.
Is it a Shepneen or...?
No, it's Green King.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's unusual.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have a village church, and those are the only two community
right.
facilities we have apart from Western Hanger Station.
Right, okay. Is Western Hanger officially part of the village?
So the full name of the parish is Stamford and Western Hanger.
Right, okay.
But they are one village separated by a railway and a motorway.
Right, okay, all right.
He's got lovely eyes, hasn't he, Nurse Liz? Sorry, Nurse Liz is watching.
Oh,
live
behave.
She
behave.
Saw Matthew and she said, ooh.
Behave.
She's a long way away, she's in Maryland, but she's visiting Kent.
Oh. Yeah. sorry about her, I don't know who invites her. Not Liz, her, Jules. We know Western Hanger Castle very well, and we know Sarah, who runs the castle at the moment. So that's a kind of setup of a small, barely more than a hamlet, really, mm-hmm. In terms of size of the village. So what's the proposal and why?
So the proposal made by Highways England on behalf of the Department for Transport was to build a lorry park capable of holding 3,600 lorries, which would be split either side of the motorway, to alleviate the problems of Operation Stack when it's being run.
Okay. Now, on that junction is already a service area, which is service 24.
Stop 24,
Stop
yeah.
24. Yeah. Does this plan incorporate that, or is that...
No, so this plan is completely in addition to Stop 24, which already has a small lorry park of, I think it's about 130, 140 vehicles. And interestingly, if you want to try and see how big something 3,600 would look, if you look at Stop 24 and think that's 130 lorries, it's quite scary.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we just go back to, was it two summers ago when we were back in Romney Marsh?
Yeah.
And I was coming from Whitstable, which is absolutely miles away.
Yeah.
It takes me an hour. And the Operation Stack, just to tell listeners how bad it was that don't know, was right back to this big roundabout here. Explain that, Paul, because you're better on geography.
No, I mean, during the Operation Stack happens a lot.
I beg to differ, but...
Yeah. Well, it happens a lot.
I'm going to just summarise quickly. Operation Stack has been in place for over 20 years. Except for the summer of 2015, on average, it is operated twice a year throughout its entire lifetime, which isn't a lot.
Yeah, no, but you're absolutely right. But what I'm saying is it happens a lot more than just that one incident. And that one incident during 2015 was the worst ever.
During 2015, it operated on 30 days, which was unprecedented, but also unrepeated. We should also remember that it's nearly 2 years since Operation Stack has been called.
Yeah.
We have not had an Operation Stack since the end of July 2015.
Do you know why that happened in 2015, Matthew?
Yeah, I mean, the circumstances that caused it were to do with you had French ferry workers on strike because they were upset that... the Channel Tunnel hadn't been allowed to buy one of the ferry services because our own Monopolies and Mergers Commission said that would
they
be...
couldn't do it.
Yeah. And then, of course, you had the asylum seekers and migrants wanting to try and disrupt services to Channel Tunnel by breaking through the security fences at the Channel Tunnel end in France. Those two things combined meant that both the Channel and the ferries weren't working the way they should, which led to huge delays.
And this is my opinion. I was involved in a TV programme about it at the time, and this is my opinion, not Matthew's. One of the other problems is that the government and Highways England's reaction to Operation Stack was appalling. They paid no attention to it at all until it got out of hand.
Yeah.
And then they went into an argument about, you know, redirecting traffic in too late and all kinds of nonsense when it was all far too late, and they were completely absent from anything that was happening while Operation Stack was on at that time. This sounds emotive, but the devastation caused by it to small businesses, homes through southeast Kent, not just around Sanford, but the whole of southeast Kent came to a standstill, right back to Ashford.
Yeah.
It was impossible to get anywhere in Ashford because traffic was queuing right back down the M20. Lorries were coming off trying to find routes, alternative routes, and yada, 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 and all that things. And it became a massive, massive problem until such time as the government were forced into reacting.
Belatedly.
And, of course, that reaction is what has led to where we are now.
Yeah.
Because they then have to be seen to do something, so they come up with some stupid plan.
I have a question for you, Matthew,
yeah.
before
yeah,
you continue from what Paul has said to you. Nurse Liz in Maryland has asked how you think Brexit will affect this lorry thing.
I don't think it will, to be
honest. Situation.
Currently, Department for Transport estimates that cross-channel freight traffic will, I think they reckon it will double, increase by 50% in the next 15 years, I think, is what the current calculation is. I don't think whatever happens with Brexit, we're going to suddenly stop doing business with Europe.
No.
Those lorries are still going to be going across, so
yeah.
I don't think it'll change things.
Yeah.
And what about the immigration problem that we've been seeing in 2015, which you mentioned?
Well, I think, you know, the problems of economic migrants from, or economic and migrants escaping, you know, wars and conflicts in other areas will continue to be a problem for Europe as a whole, whether or not it affects Calais and the Channel Tunnel the way it was doing back in 2015 is another point. And a point I'd like to make is that ever since we've started to oppose this, this isn't about NIMBYism. We've said this is because we do not think a lorry park solves Operation Stack. It might do something to alleviate the symptoms, but what you have to do is prevent Stack from happening.
Mm.
And the way you do that is address the causes of the problem. Now, we must actually say well done to the government, because following 2015, they eventually got round to sorting out the security at the end of the Channel Tunnel. They talked to the French Chamber of Commerce to help alleviate the problems with the ferry workers.
Mm.
And, of course, the jungle has now been closed down in Calais.
Mm.
All of those things, none of which cost £250 million of taxpayers' money, have been the major things that mean we haven't seen Operation Stack for nearly 2 years.
Mm.
Now, if freight traffic keeps growing, some of our MPs would have you to believe that will mean there'll be more and more cases of Operation Stack. I don't believe that.
Mm.
If you have resilience in our cross-channel freight capacity, there's no reason why you should have Stack. And if you keep having more and more freight, what you need is not a car park. You need more capacity to get that freight across the channel.
The funny thing is, though, here, Matt, this is my view as someone that's an outsider to this process, but the funny thing is that Operation Stack itself is actually allegedly a solution to a problem.
But it's not.
We shouldn't be trying to solve Operation Stack.
No.
We shouldn't be having Operation Stack.
Exactly, and that is what Smarter Options than Stanford for Kent, SOS Kent, is trying to say.
Yeah.
We're not saying. I've said publicly before, and I'll say it again. I believed that a large lorry park built in our parish would actually solve Operation Stack. I would support it.
Mm.
It won't.
Yeah.
And all the problems in terms of economic impact. I mean, some people would have you believe that during its height, it was costing the wider UK economy £250 million a day. That is rubbish.
Mm.
If it was, the number of businesses that would have been going out of business would have been ridiculous.
Mm.
That figure of £250 million a day was what somebody worked out by saying, these are the number of vehicles stuck in Stack, and it was kind of an average value of their loads.
Yeah.
If you put them in a car park, they're still not getting to their destinations.
Mm.
The goods are still not being delivered. And anything perishable will still perish.
Absolutely.
What you have to do is keep the traffic moving.
Mm.
And you don't do that by building a large lorry park that no one needs.
And there's also the whole eggs in one basket thing here.
Yeah.
Is that to get into and out of the lorry park is going to be causing massive jams. And the whole point of Stack for everyone else that wasn't involved in it was the jams.
Yeah.
So you're not going to solve the jams.
Well, I mean, this is a business show, right? And everyone knows in business you don't build in a single point of failure to any kind of business.
Mm.
And that's what you're building in with the lorry park.
Yeah.
But if there's an incident with a lorry going into that lorry park or coming out of it, it becomes
game
useless
over.
Again.
Yeah.
And where are the jams going to be? Mm. They're going to be on the M20 again.
Mm.
And if you have the problems with Operation Stack that happened in 2015, that lorry park is about 5,400 lorries short of the size it needs to be. So you're still going to have 5,000 lorries on the M20 if we have a repeat of 2015.
Mm.
So the fact that it deals with 80% of the small cases of Stack is useless, because the small cases of stack don't cause the problems we saw in 2015 anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It's an overreaction, an invalid way of doing it. One of the things that interests me about freight traffic is that nobody's tried to look for a technical solution here. For instance, we have a huge investment in overweight motorway gantry signs telling you what to have for breakfast, not to eat five a day or whatever it is they put up on these damn things.
Yeah,
they don't use them for anything useful, warning lorry drivers don't go to Kent because it's closed.
Well, we believe there are technology solutions. Mm. You know, the technology and information via SatNav is already out there.
Yeah.
The moment you called Operation Stack, that could be fed through to a lorry. You'd see it come up on SatNav that Operation Stack was going to be called. Mm. And we said they should have to text in or phone in to be put into a virtual queue.
Yeah.
And at that point, a not massively difficult computer program could manage their arrival at Dover in such a way that they don't all have to rush down.
You call them off. It is vanishingly simple. I'm from a technical background, and it is one of the easiest things to do.
Apparently, the government claimed, or DfT claimed, that they looked at technology solutions, but it was too technologically difficult. Now we have two of the busiest airports in the world in the southeast of England, Gatwick and Heathrow. If we can manage to stack the planes over there, I'd imagine we can sort out a few lorries on a motorway.
The issues are, as far as road haulage is concerned, there are rules about how much you can drive and you have to pull over anyway. In the UK, we have far fewer lorry stops, and I'm not talking about things like Sanford. I'm talking about ordinary overnight lorry stops that you use every day because that's part of the driving, which is what Stop 24 is. There's also one here at Ashford, and there's a few others dotted around. But if you go to France or Belgium, there's hundreds of them. Every 5 miles, there's one.
Yeah.
We haven't got enough of those. If we had more of those spread right back up the motorway network, it's a doddle piece of technology to inform someone that stack's in operation, you can't come any closer, and if you want to get on a ferry, you have to register, you know, where you are, and then we'll call you in as and when. It's not difficult, really.
And that's certainly one of the things that we've advocated as well, more smaller lorry parks throughout the transport network. Fine, it might take a bit more time to deliver, but at the moment, again, it's 2 years since we last had Stack, and they certainly haven't broken any ground on the lorry park at the moment. I suppose the irony, of course, is if they had been able to build the lorry park in a day 2 years ago, it wouldn't have been used in the last 2 years.
No.
And again, from a business perspective, you know, some of our MPs are very keen to say they've secured £250 million of investment for Kent. It's not going to create jobs for Kent. It's not going to do anything for Kent. It's just a load of concrete.
Stalemate, isn't it?
And one of the things that put it in perspective for me just the other week was whether or not you agree with government education policy. The fact that the government was going to spend £300 million, which was going to give 70,000 new school places throughout the UK, I would think Kent would be a lot better off having £250 million, which would give it alone 58,000 new school places. That might be something that Kent could actually do something with, rather than a very large car park.
Absolutely.
How are you all going to get together to protect this area?
Well, I mean, rewind a little bit. The government have not been willing to listen to us to this point, which is why we, as a parish council, became an interested party in the judicial review that was launched by the owner of Western Hanger Castle.
Can you mention his name?
His name is John Forge.
Right.
That judicial review has been given leave to be heard, and it will be heard in a court case on the 27th and 28th of June.
Right. Okay.
What would you like to see happen with that space, if anything?
With the space? With the space itself.
If it's not a lorry park, what do you envisage? Should it be a green park area?
Well, it's currently arable farmland. Yeah. And seeing as this is the Garden of England, I'd rather like it to stay that way.
Yeah.
And because this isn't the only thing that's happening in that area either, is
it? No, we're a busy corner of Kent. Shepway District Council is also proposing to build at Otterpool New Town, just south of the motorway there, between Lym and Lym Sellinge and Aldington.
Right.
And they want to build 12,000 homes there.
Right. And you've got the racecourse as well.
Well, the racecourse will probably end up being part of this new Otterpool New Town.
Yeah. Exactly. So right at the same place they're going to put a lorry park, they're proposing to put 12,000 new homes as well.
Yeah.
Of course, no one's got a car. There's no traffic or anything.
No. There'll be no infrastructure because they never think about that.
Well, at the moment, I mean, interestingly, Shepway District Council, who are one of my favourite organisations, seem to have...
Are they better than Canterbury City Council?
No, funnily enough. But they are no good at strategic thinking. They claim to have strategic thinking, and yet, as you've just pointed out, they're wanting to build a new town opposite a lorry park for 3,600 lorries on a motorway junction that won't be big enough to handle that capacity of vehicles. I mean, 12,000 new homes is 25,000 new vehicles.
Yeah.
Interesting as well, if you look at their plans, and I say that in inverted commas because anything to do with Shepway District Council calling it a plan is a bit of a stretch. At the moment, where the new town would be, the old A20 runs straight through the middle of it. Now, presumably, they're not going to build the town with an A road running straight through the middle of it. So that means they need to move the A20. But if you ask them that, they deny that that's going to happen. Well, if surely the centre of a new town should be a nice town centre.
It shouldn't have an A road going through. Because yeah, you can imagine that in a few years' time when it becomes an accident black spot for all the little kiddies that are run over on a major road in the middle of a town. I know, it's crazy stuff, isn't it?
We're laughing, but it's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, I'm trying to talk about the kind of practical things that could be done other than building a lorry park, because it's a waste of public funds, it's not needed, etc. But the stress and worry that it has caused to residents within our parish is quite disturbing. I mean, I there's a number of stories I could tell you. You know, people are really, really concerned and upset about this, and it's now been hanging over them for 18 months.
Yeah.
And there's every sign that that's going to go on for a good while longer yet.
Absolutely. It's a difficult situation that you face. It does affect more than you guys as well, because it affects us as well, if we ever go back to doing this. What's your feeling? How are you thinking at the moment? Where do you think this is going to end up?
I think, interestingly enough, a lot of the big officials within Highways England, Department for Transport, various lawyers have continued to point out to us that we are only a small parish council and the best we can hope to achieve by what we've been doing is delay, to which I've pointed out that that might be all I'm trying to achieve. I believe that if we can delay this long enough, the political will for it might well go away. People will suddenly realise that Stack has not happened for years and that there are better things, far better things for Kent and for Britain to spend £250 million on.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, I don't have to necessarily get this overturned in the courts. I just have to delay it until a point where somebody wakes up and realises it's just not needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, because it's a knee-jerk reaction anyway.
Yeah.
It was a knee-jerk reaction anyway because they got told off for not paying attention when it was happening.
It was very much akin to when we had the flooding in the Somerset Levels back in 2014.
Yeah.
David Cameron decided he didn't like keep seeing it in the press every day. It was embarrassing. And he literally, at a Cobra meeting, kicked the Minister for Transport up the backside and said, "You will fix this." They then went to Highways England and said, "You will fix this." Now, Highways England, funnily enough, can only build roads. That's why the solution they came up with is a lorry park.
Yeah.
It's not because it's the best solution. It's because that's all they know how to do.
Yeah, absolutely. We could talk about this forever. Yeah. Sadly, we're running out of time. Matthew, thank you so much for that. If people want to find out more about your campaign, is there a way? Do you have a Facebook page, website?
So SOS Kent has both a website and a Facebook page. If you search for SOS Kent, it'll probably be one of the first things that comes up.
Right.
Please do go on it, like it, kind of give us your thoughts on on what we do.
There is a link to the Facebook page on the Kent Business Radio website homepage. If you click on the link under Matthew's name there, it will take you straight to their Facebook page. Matthew, thank you so much for that. We wish you good luck with it. We think you're on the right side of this argument, and we hope that somebody sees sense with this eventually and wanders off and does something different.
Thank you.
For the moment, thank you so much, Matthew Webb, Chair of Sanford Parish Council. Thank you. We're fast approaching a halfway point. I've got another tweet that I need to read out here, and it's from the community show of this parish, Channel Radio. And they say, Vanilla Webb, Jill Sirkin, please, good afternoon. Can we have a shout-out, please, for the community radio show? We have some fantastic guests this Thursday between 10 and 11, and their studio guest is Andrew Hutchinson from Chiddingston Real Football.
Chiddingston?
Chiddingston Real. Chiddingston Real Football. Blimey. Big stuff.
Yeah, good. Exactly. Are you playing in that? Or?
No, I'm not. Somebody's... Do you know what? Somebody's only... trying to get me to take part in another six-a-side game in
well,
a couple
you should,
of
because you love football. That time at Hilden
Roos, I was 62
Lodge,
years old for
that. Is the oranges on a half-time?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Do you know, there was a luncheon that I put on an event, and Paul Andrews was playing football. We organised some football. I could not get him out off the pitch. He was like a happy as a sandboy on this pitch. Lunch was ready. He does like lunch, but I could not get him off the pitch. So there you are. You should do it.
I'm knocking on a bit now. It's
makes
a bit dangerous.
Feel good.
Yeah. The Cranbrook Literature Festival, Wine and Words, Beer and Books, celebrate World Book Night with the Cranbrook Literature Festival's Big Book Swap, Sunday the 23rd of April at the George Hotel Cranbrook from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Cranbrook Literature Festival at gmail.com is the email address if you want more stuff on the Wine and Words Beer and Books Festival in Cranbrook.
Stuff.
Do you know what?
Yes.
We're going to join the newsroom now.
Okay.
We're going to swap
find
over.
Out what's happening.
And we're going to hear from John, I believe.